B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Checkpoint Daily. It's Monday.
I feel it in my bones.
You feel Monday?
I feel the Monday.
Look outside. It's gray. It's
pretty blah, but you know what? We are going to bring some sunshine into your life because what we're doing is talking about video games and some other stuff. As always, I am joined by Chad Callahan. To my left, Chad, how was your weekend?
It was good. I adulted hard, and now it's Monday, so I'm feeling extra adulty.
Well, you understand that the Gen Z hates when we say adulting. Apparently,
you know what?
Not
the show
okay.
Isn't for you. I'm just kidding. Please watch us. We love you.
No, you know what I got to say about Gen Z? You know what I got to say to them?
I love them.
Please save us.
Yeah, please save us.
That's what I want to say.
You're our only hope. We can only do so much. We're fighting the boomers left and right. This is all we have. You're our next hope.
We need
Help
you
us,
on
Gen
our
Z
side.
Wan Kenobi.
We need you. And to my right, the newly nuptialed Callie Scales. How are you, Callie?
I'm wonderful. You know, the weather looked like it was going to be a nightmare for our wedding, and instead it was like the most beautiful day ever. So
yeah.
Everything came together. It was a wonderful weekend.
Good. I am so happy for you and your new wife.
Yes. So, that is taking some getting used to, by the way.
Saying that?
Yeah, already I've had it on the phone where I was like, yeah, let me just talk to my wife. That's strange to say out loud.
It's only been 3 days. So.
I know, yeah.
You'll get used to it.
You know what's weird? Nothing feels different. It's exactly the same.
It won't feel different for another 20 years.
Yeah, there
you go. But with that said, we got some stuff to talk about. So here's what's happening in the world of gaming.
All right, so first and foremost, we have our grand finals set for the League of Legends World Championships. Norris's brackets are in tatters.
It's destroyed.
They have gone down in flames. We have got Damwon Gaming. Not a huge surprise. Taking on Suning, a huge surprise.
So if you were unfamiliar, Suning was a team that I didn't even have getting out of groups.
Nope. They were the only Chinese team that I didn't have making it out of groups.
Yeah, so...
Instead, they ruined my bracket.
Yeah, it's bad all the way around. But let me say this. There is a player from Suning, and I'm going to have to pull up his name, but his story is incredible. When he was 12 years old, he was homeless.
Wow.
Essentially.
Wow. Oh, this is the one you wanted the 30 for 30 on.
Yeah, exactly.
I
posted it on Twitter if you want to check it out. There's a really great story about it, at Great Laker Nori, N-O-R-I. That's my Twitter. You could check it out. But he was homeless as a 12-year-old. Essentially, the only light source he had was a computer.
Huh.
When he was living on his own, he would only see his dad, like, you know, every now and then. And he's played his way to the finals of League of Legends. I mean, what can you not like about that? That is what you write. That's the blind side.
That's the blind side for esports. Does it say how he got scouted, or was it just like scores or him playing?
Yeah, it's just him playing the game, man.
And then them just finding out.
Yeah,
that's wild.
A crazy cool story.
It's such a cool story. So it's really hard to root against that kid, but I am. I'm going to.
Go Damwon.
Go Damwon. Because right. I'm gonna be honest with you. I can't.
Damwon didn't ruin your bracket.
That's number one, and
I
cannot have China win three straight worlds.
It's so true. I never thought I'd find myself rooting for Korea to win worlds, but go Korea.
But here we are.
Here we are. By the way.
It can't happen, Callie.
By the way, I've not cared less about a finals in like 5 years.
Even though it's not an unexpected thing, you're still
it's unexpected, but like the last couple of years at least had the intrigue of like, ooh, EU made it to the finals.
Yeah.
Maybe someone in the West will finally win Worlds. Now it's just another East versus East matchup, and it's like, nah, right.
Well, I'll put it this way. As a casual, you know, if I'm somebody who has no skin in the game, I will watch it, and it'll be exciting, and it's cool. But I think, Callie, you're absolutely right. I would not be surprised if this is like one of the lowest view Worlds ever.
Oh, no. I didn't say that. I think the viewership's going to be insane. I think China's once again going to destroy the viewership record.
How's the viewership been now? I haven't really been tracking.
It's okay.
Okay.
You know, it's Worlds. It's Worlds, so people will watch it. Listen, I think obviously, yes, China will watch it. But if you take everybody else in the rest of the world, I think last year you had a very intriguing thing where it was China versus EU.
Yeah.
So
the whole of Europe is watching.
The whole of Europe is watching.
Most of NA is watching because they want Europe to win as much as it pains us.
Exactly. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, hey, you know, we're here and we probably will root for the NFC team in the Super Bowl because the Lions will never make it.
Right, but one whole hemisphere is out at this point.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So that's why I think viewership may be a little bit down.
Okay.
Could be.
But I think the story with Sunning is great. I think Dan Juan was far and away probably the best team in the world, in my opinion.
Okay.
So along with top esports. But, you know, I'm with it. Nobody cares.
All right, so moving up next, you know, my show notes page here just has this note on it, and it makes my blood boil. Ask Chad about Xbox streaming stick rumor.
So.
Okay. Yes. What is that, and so, why am I angry?
I don't know if you'd be. You know what? This is funny, because I feel like I mentioned this such a long time ago, mm-hmm. and it actually makes me, like, excited to see what Xbox does. But Phil Spencer, in a recent interview, I don't remember with who originated it, but basically hinted that there may be essentially like a streaming stick where the X Cloud would live and Game Pass would just plug into your TV, like what was that, Chrome stick?
Well,
or
like
whatever.
A Stadia.
Yeah, like the Stadia. Mm-hmm. And it just goes right in and you just.
You're talking
play.
Like the Amazon, was it
the
Fire.
Amazon
Fire
Stick?
Yeah,
yeah,
like that.
Something like that. You put it into your TV and it works.
And it's got Game Pass and X Cloud on it?
Game Pass and X Cloud.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, listen.
I'm actually, I'm not mad at that.
The thing.
I take it back.
Here's the thing.
That
remember,
sounds awesome.
Remember when we were all worried about, you know, what's the Series X really going to have? Like, mm-hmm. Are they going to care about the next console? This solidifies that they don't care about consoles anymore. They care about the stick.
They can't
listen.
They care about their two services that work.
They listen. First of all, Callie, you took the words right out of my mouth. They are investing and putting ideas and creativity into the things that are going to make them money
in the future
because they work. They flat out work.
Yep.
It just works. Game Pass works, okay?
Yeah.
xCloud will work because they'll have the games, they'll have the publishers, or excuse me, they'll have the developers, they'll have all that stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, I think Stadia was a proof of concept, right? Yeah. I think that was a multi-million dollar proof of concept for cloud gaming, essentially. Because Google is out of it. They're not a factor. But I think this is awesome, and I think it will work because as cloud gaming begins to become more of a thing with the advent of, you know, 5G and Wi-Fi 6 and all these other networking improvements.
You're right.
Cloud gaming is going to essentially be nigh indistinguishable in the next, I would say, 5 years. Nigh indistinguishable from a console experience outside of PC because PC will always have, you know, more power. The emphasis on graphical fidelity, the ability to swap parts in and out. That's going to be always an enthusiast's thing to do.
Yeah.
But we talked about it when we talked about graphics cards and NVIDIA's new graphics cards, and, you know, way back when we were doing Checkpoint AFK, that when cloud gaming becomes a thing, what market will there be for these graphics cards? There won't be. What market will there be for a new console every 7 years?
That's where
there won't be.
Xbox has the edge 100% over PlayStation.
It's hard to argue against.
I feel like Sony's really dominating right now. What they have in the background, I have no idea. But I don't think they have the infrastructure right now in the PlayStation, you know, world to really make this X Cloud combatant. You know, like
right? No, it could. It's definitely going to turn into a case of.
Cloud.
PlayStation runs the console market, but the console market might fade into obscurity.
Right, it's going to be the blockbuster of consoles.
Yep.
Essentially.
Yeah. I think it'll be great. And I just want to say this because I thought it was stupid, and maybe we'll talk about this later, but there was a tweet from a Stadia creative director over the weekend that set Twitter on fire, and it was just stupid.
Mm.
You know what? As a matter of fact, I'll table this. I want to talk about this tomorrow.
Okay,
Callie,
tomorrow.
Let's write this down because this tweet is a very, very much so a larger conversation about how Google, maybe how Google feels about the gaming space and especially how
they
interface.
It really showcases how separate they made themselves feel from the game.
Absolutely, and it's a lot about streaming. I think it's an interesting conversation. But, Callie, we got some other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, last thing I want to hit on here is the Suicide Squad movie. The next one is going to murder a lot of people.
All right, here's what I got to say. Sell me on this crap, okay?
Hold on.
I don't know.
No, that isn't fair. I don't want to have to sell someone on Suicide
Squad. Sell me on this, because every time something about Suicide Squad comes up, everybody starts talking about it, and like I am supposed to care right. about this wait. Really crappy movie.
It's James Gunn, right?
Yes.
He didn't direct the first one.
Right? No.
I didn't think so. Okay, so here, first off, James Gunn.
Okay.
End of story. But I love this idea because we are stuck in this idea of all these Marvel-y movies. And yes, there has been death in Marvel, but not nearly as much as there should be. I love this take of we're going to just say, screw it.
I disagree.
And people die. Heroes die. You can die. I love it.
I disagree. I think Game of Thrones has changed the paradigm for popular culture, and now everybody thinks the way you can be edgy and the way you can drive people to your thing is no one is safe, well, quote unquote. I am tired of it.
I mean, part it's of only why Marvel a little bit.
No, part of why Marvel movies enough. Are dope is because the people I see in those movies, I know I'll be rocking with them for the next 8 movies. I know Captain America's gonna be there for 5 movies. Captain America's not about to die in movie 2, and well, then I never care well, about him again.
My guess is they're not going to like kill off some of the major money makers, but they'll
I
probably,
guarantee you they will.
They
just
might
to be
do
edgy.
A,
no,
I don't
guarantee
think
they'll.
I don't like. Harley you Smith's don't
say
going nowhere.
You don't say something like this if you're not going to. Because if you do and you don't pull the trigger, you're a coward. Because now you just came out and said, oh, we're going to murder all these people in this movie. And then if you did nothing, I don't – you well, it's
so here's his quote. He said he was given Warner Brothers Pictures and DC Entertainment gave him, quote, full freedom to kill anyone. So here's why I do appreciate that. The hype for the original Suicide Squad movie was built on 2 things. A really awesome trailer set to a Queen song.
Yep.
And Margot Robbie actually does look like Harley Quinn. Not bad, guys. That was basically the hype for the first movie. And then we got the first movie and it sucked. Like, it was really, really bad. Now, James Gunn comes on to direct this one. I like James Gunn.
Yep.
I like most of the movies that he does. I like him when he does ensemble pictures. Good hiring. I like it. He brings on a lot of weird villains, which Deadpool shows me that you can do very mm-hmm. well. Which the more recent Harley Quinn TV animated show shows me you can do really well. And he's willing to just murder those characters off because they're not important anyway and you can. It is the Suicide Squad. Characters are supposed to die in this. Yep. And one of the big flaws of the first one, they really didn't kill very many people. It's the Suicide Squad.
2 people die.
Yeah. The one guy who was definitely in the movie to make the point that you can kill somebody.
Yeah.
And the villain.
Yep. Here's the thing. I don't read Suicide Squad, so maybe I'm way off base, but I feel like Suicide Squad kind of had this kind of fun campiness to it, almost like horror movies.
Yeah.
Am I incorrect?
Suicide Squad is an incredibly campy comic.
I want
yes.
James Gunn, and I feel like this is with that statement, I want him to lean heavy into that kind of trope, that idea, this campiness of it, because that is something I haven't seen in superhero movies yet, other than like the like Kick-Ass, which wouldn't count.
Well,
exactly.
Even Kick-Ass was quite dark.
But it was dark, but it had camp.
Yeah.
And I want that kind
like,
of
don't
same
take,
level.
Don't take this seriously.
Don't take it seriously. Take DC. Make all these characters who are funny. They're all genuinely funny characters in their own right. And lean into it.
No, I mean, listen. I'm with you. And Callie, I'm with you. I think James Gunn, if somebody can revive it, it's him.
It's him.
I have no feeling about this. And I feel like when they put out, you know, releases and statements and stuff like this, it's just something to drum up people to say, oh, man, yeah, I wonder who they're going to kill. Like, I don't think that's a good motivator for your film, to be honest.
I agree.
I'd much rather just be surprised.
True.
But anyway, with that said, we got more coming up from Checkpoint Daily. We're going to stay on this movie topic. I think the movie topic is really dope. So let's stay here because COVID has changed how we interface with and consume movies. So stick around for that conversation coming up with more Checkpoint Daily.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey everybody, this is Norris Howard, host of Checkpoint HP on Campus, and if you're wondering, Esports in college, that's a thing? Yes, it is. So if you're curious about can your kid or maybe you get an esports scholarship to a university, yes, it's possible. Find out how on Checkpoint XP on campus. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Checkpoint Daily, one of your number one resources for the world of video games, esports, and a bunch of other stuff. If you haven't gotten a chance since we were just talking about Suicide Squad to check out The Other Identity, we want to make sure you guys do that. The Other Identity is our comics-based podcast with Ben Morse and Robbie Landis. Make sure you guys holler at that, because if you want to hear more about stuff like Suicide Squad or the X-Men or Marvel movies, that's going to be your one-stop shop for all that cool stuff. Now, Callie, we were talking about the movies earlier. We were talking about Suicide Squad. And, you know, for me, I feel like the whole process of watching movies, of going to the movies, has changed. It's been
irrevocably changed.
Yeah, I feel like the theater doesn't have the same pull on me as it once did.
That's the thing. So I love going to the theater. I think it is.
You're a movie buff.
I am a movie buff. I love movies. I love going to the theater. I can go see garbage movies and just sit there and wolf popcorn down, or I can go see a really good movie where it's like, no snacks, no drinks. This is a focus in, enjoy this kind of movie. But I got to tell you, in the era of COVID, suddenly the idea of packing into a movie theater, you know,
is nasty.
20 people to a row.
Is gross.
And I truly worry. I feel like going to see movies in that way is not coming back.
No.
And I mean, even outside of multiple theater chains closing down because they've gone out of business, I just feel like as a society, we're moving on from that. I mean, listen, the James Bond movie, right? The No Time to Die. It's been delayed twice now, which infuriates me because I love the Bond movies. They were trying to sell their streaming rights and literally saying, we're willing to move James Bond, a theater staple.
The last one Craig's in, right?
The last one Daniel Craig is in, yep. Mm-hmm. They said, we are willing to move that to a streaming service. Now, the caveat was that someone had to cough up $600 million for the streaming rights, which, I mean, you figure that's probably about 60-70% of what they would hope to take at the theater. So I get why they would ask for that much. No one was willing to bite. No one was willing to cough up $600 million in the era of COVID for the rights to the James Bond movie. And I don't either, by the way. I don't disagree either. And it just got me to thinking, like, so this movie will come out in the theaters come spring, but it's like, I don't know. Has the movie experience just changed for you?
I mean,
will it ever come back?
To me, it has. I think, you know, what I'm starting to see certain, there's a local chain here, or local-ish chain here, Imagine.
Yeah, the Imagine Theaters.
I'm not sure. I think it is mostly in the Midwest.
I think it's all Michigan still.
Yeah, is it all Michigan? Okay, I think it's all Michigan. But one of the bigger chains here in Michigan. But what they've done is they allow people for like $100 to just rent out the whole theater.
That's not even just that. Like, AMC's doing that. MJR's doing that. Yep. So this is not.
For $100, you rent out the whole theater. You and like 20 of your friends,
you and
or
your
family,
crew.
You and your crew can go and watch the movie. While that on paper sounds amazing, because
I would totally do that.
Because people I don't know are by far the worst part of going to the movies.
People I don't know are just by far the worst people.
Yeah, just flat out. But at the same time, depending on what I'm going to see, they're the best part. Like when you go to see a Saw movie in the theaters, first of all, you don't go to see it in the suburbs. You go to a theater that you know a bunch of black folks are going to, because every horror movie, if you half your theater ain't black when you go see a horror movie, you have reduced your experience of going to watch a horror movie. I'm just being honest. But
when I went and saw Star Wars Episode 7, right? The big scene, Kylo Ren kills Han Solo.
Yeah.
And I hear two things. I hear someone go, damn, he just did his father like that? That's crazy. I heard that to my right, and in the front row, I hear someone go, hey, get bent, Kylo.
That's part of the best part, especially these big, huge budget, you know, blockbuster movies, Marvel movies. The collective experience is part of what makes it great. But I'm not sure if I'm willing to sacrifice my health for that collective experience.
I think there's two sides of me right now. There's the part of me that's craving for things to get normal so I can do things and
go to the theater.
Go to theater.
It's such an easy date night. Yeah. Dinner and a movie, and I haven't been able to do that in months.
I do agree that it probably won't be as healthy for a couple years, but I think 5 years after the idea of COVID settles, we're going to be back to normal, and we might start seeing more movie theaters like come back or something.
Oh, we'll see a renaissance of movie theaters?
See, yeah, I'm not sure, Chad, because...
Here's the reason. There's not many, like, for example, we're kind of jaded because we live in a city.
We live near
a big city.
How about a renaissance of local theaters?
That's what I think.
Small theaters?
I would love
the return of the renaissance.
I think, honestly, the problem that we see now is that, like, there's not a whole ton of things to do sometimes, and the movie theaters, especially for small towns, are the only escape that a lot of people have that are local. Like, you would have to go a couple hours out or something like that.
So the age of the major cineplex.
Yes. So, like, the AMCs, they might still exist.
The 30 screen AMC theater.
But you'll have, like, a 5-screener here and there, or, like, the movie theaters that shut down, like, you might be more independent.
See, I'm going to be honest. One of the best theater experiences I ever had was going to the Birmingham 8. And seeing a girl with the dragon tattoo.
I love that.
The David Fincher one.
Yep.
And I thought it was great because it was a small theater, so it felt like I was seeing, you know, a small art house film. It was beautifully shot and all that stuff, but the experience was great because I didn't have that screaming kids and arcade games and, like...
Less corporate.
Yeah, it felt warmer. It felt more like this is what it was supposed to be like, right? And I think you may have a point on that, is that maybe the smaller theaters come back.
Yeah.
But I think the concept of these big, huge theaters that are, like, off of highways that you just, everybody in the whole, like, metro area goes to, yeah, I think that may die off, man, because I just don't see, nor do I understand how you are able to convince people to come back, just like what sports is dealing with, where how do you convince me to get up and go to the park and pay $80 to come watch a team that sucks and pay $20 for a hot dog that also sucks.
And $20 for parking.
And $20 for parking and $10 for a beer when I can do all of that for the same price and get better quality of all of it at home.
The one thing I'll compare
way
is
cheaper.
That when you live somewhere, you go to the stadium and you know, like, let's say the Tigers or something. You know the Tigers suck, but I'm going to go just because I support them or whatever.
Yeah.
That's different than going to the movie and being like, this, it could be a myriad. This movie could be great. This movie could be bad. That's different than, like, I know the Tigers suck. They're most likely going to lose. I'm going to support them or not support them.
But I still think the concept of going out to do something physically of what you can do at home is not necessarily one-to-one, but I think it's very similar.
Yeah, the rose-colored glasses are gone is the problem. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, we went to the theater for years because that's what we did. You went to the sports game because you had season tickets, because your dad had season tickets, and your dad took you to watch the game.
Yeah.
And it was something that was special to you. But that's because the alternative back then was watching it on a standard definition television, not really being able to even see the ball or the puck or whatever.
Yeah.
And you realize eventually, like, oh, hey, you know what's really cool? Sitting on my couch with my nice flat screen television and my surround sound and my beer that cost me $2 instead of $12. And then, I have a private bathroom that isn't filthy. Oh, I didn't have to park my car or drive anywhere. I can have more than 2 beers because I don't have to drive anywhere. The experience is so much better. And the only thing that you lose on is, yes, when the great moment happens, when the touchdown pass happens.
The swell of the crowd.
You don't have that. And I understand that. But I'm telling you, we're getting more and more to the point, and I think COVID has really shown us a lot of it can be replicated and better.
And not only can it be replicated and better, dude, if you look at the NBA and what they were able to do with the bubble, that's proof of concept right there.
It works.
We do not need these arenas.
There will not be a good replacement for the Hollywood blockbuster. Everyone lines up to go at midnight. Fans turning out in cosplay.
No.
There will never be a replacement for that. The pinnacle of the movie going experience is irreplaceable. I grant you that. until VR gets crazy. I grant you that, but I'm telling you, that one night, those moments aren't enough to float this industry, and enough people have seen that on an average movie going experience, you can get it better at home.
Yeah,
this industry is changing.
And on top of that, I just think Netflix has changed the paradigm so much to where, I mean, look at what happened with Roma. Mm-hmm. When Roma released to Netflix and in theaters at the same time, most people watched it on Netflix, seeing it in theaters would have been cool, but not a deal breaker. But you're right. That whole feeling of Star Wars midnight release, you know,
people showing up in Stormtrooper costumes.
Yeah, they show up and all that stuff. I don't think that's going anywhere.
No, people will still do that.
But
it might be in smaller theaters.
Exactly.
Now.
Yeah. Exactly. What? I don't need to go to a 30 screen theater to do that. As a matter of fact, I would rather have my town have 6 small movie theaters as opposed to this one ginormous
Agreed.
One that everybody has to fight over.
And my thing, too, is like the only thing I truly will miss about the movies outside of that is that on Friday night, I say, you know what? I don't feel like being in my house all night. Why don't we go to dinner and a movie?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's cliche as all get out, but it is the quintessential American Friday night out.
No, it is. And, you know, I think it has changed. I think COVID has done more than just change it. I think, you know, we could be seeing the death of an industry, essentially. But,
or at least the evolution of one.
The evolution. But in many cases, just like I say all the time about esports, for it to get bigger, it must go smaller. Mm. And I think if the emphasis gets placed back onto the neighborhood movie theater, the small 5-screener,
that would make me so happy.
I would love that so much because not only is it small business opportunities and stuff like that, but
it also requires Hollywood to negotiate.
Number one.
Boom.
So there you go. So, you know, I think in many cases this may be, that's the silver lining to it all. But the only thing I miss is seeing a giant, big old lightsaber fight.
Yeah.
And hearing the THX surround sound and the howl of a TIE fighter as it screams by. That's all I care about.
Right.
Do I need to go see the remake of Field of Dreams at AMC? Absolutely not.
You know what my
put it on Netflix.
What my favorite movie I ever went and saw in theaters was
what?
It got re-released on IMAX probably about 10 years ago. They re-released Jurassic Park on IMAX.
That's a good movie theater
and,
movie.
Oh my god, we went and saw that at like 11 at night, and yeah, like you get that sequence of them in the car with the T-Rex going in IMAX.
Yeah,
and you're just like, this is what a movie should be. This is incredible.
Yeah,
but like. It's more and more, it's getting to the point where it's like, if it's not an experience like that, I'd rather watch it at home.
Yeah.
With my, you know, where I can hit pause and go to the bathroom.
Yeah, like, do I want to sit and watch a period piece at the theater?
No.
No, I don't. I'm not going to sit in the theater for 4 hours and watch Anna Karenina.
I want to make a big old pot of chili and sit there with a bowl and, oh, my pot of chili or my bowl of chili is empty. Pause, go get another one, use the bathroom, grab a beer, and keep watching.
And just to bring this full circle, you know what I think would be cool to repurpose movie theaters for?
Watching esports?
Esports.
I know, they've been trying that. I mean, some of the theaters have given that a go. It hasn't caught on yet, but again, going to smaller movie chains, it might.
I think it might. I think
viewing parties?
Movie theaters, I think you may need to switch up. Get away from, you know, running these movies that you know are not going to make you any money.
Mm-hmm.
Run some esports.
Because that's, I mean, that's the one thing that is still missing really from the esports experience is camaraderie, is the collective viewing experience.
Yep.
Now, I think you need more teams that are regionalized for that to be the case, but maybe.
It's a plan. But with that said, that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. For Chad Callahan and Callie Sloan, we hope to see you back tomorrow where Checkpoint will be going back to the polls. Stick around for that, guys. We will see you tomorrow.
Hey, what's up? It's James Campbell. Every week on Checkpoint XP On Demand, I'm joined by my co-hosts Weird Beard and Robbie Landis as we bring you a layman's perspective on all things esports and gaming. So whether it's the latest in Overwatch, Ninja doing something crazy, or a Mario Battle Royale, we'll cover it. You can get it on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.